Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. Today I'm going to talk about some important themes or key words like authority, binding, loosing. And I'm going to connect it to your life of faith, not only with regards to your own relationship with the Lord, but even more with regards to the stewardship that is yours. And especially here, I'm going to be speaking to men, to husbands and fathers, but also to all parents and grandparents, operating in the authority that is yours in Christ. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. I'm going to begin with a scripture reading. I don't often do this, but I'm going to do this today. I'm going to use a lot of scripture to unfold some of the themes that I'm talking about, which is really knowing your status as God's child in Christ Jesus and the authority that gives you. Not the authoritarianism, but the authority that is yours. And I'm going to link it to a theme of binding and loosing, especially as it relates to the fulfillment of your call as a parent, as a husband and a father, a wife and a mother, towards your children and your grandchildren. But in any role of leadership that is yours as well. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be utilizing a number of scriptures to help unfold this point. Let's begin with a prayer. Let's begin with the first scripture and then pray. It's from Luke chapter 10, verse 1. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. After this, the Lord appointed a further 72 and sent them in pairs before him to every town and place he intended to visit. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the harvest master to send workers to his harvest. Be on your way, and remember, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, we approach you in Jesus' name, and we thank you that you have appointed us to be disciples on mission, missionary disciples. And because you have appointed us, you have also anointed us with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, we do go before into situations where we are like lambs in the midst of wolves. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us today deeper insight into the graces that are ours, the gifts that are ours, in the status that is ours as your children. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to talk today about this theme of authority. And I know authority can be a word that seems to have some negative connotations, right? Oh, you're exercising authority in a way that is harsh or condescending or with a sense of superiority, right? Or it's overly narrow. And that's not the kind of authority I'm talking about. I'm talking about it in relationship to the concept of the rights of the author, authority, the rights of the author, that the author of life, the author of all good things, the one who is coming, the one that we await expectantly, the one that we await is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming. This is Advent. This is the season when we have an expectant waiting. We have the stillness to say he's coming. But if you take a look at this scripture that I just began with in Luke chapter 10, It says, in every place he intended to visit, every place he intended, every place he intended to come, he's coming to visit, he's coming. What did he do? He sent out missionary disciples. He sent out disciples on a mission who would go before him and prepare the way. And this is part of the missionary call that is ours, right? This is the harvest that's rich, but the laborers are few. So today we're going to talk about the desire, building off of yesterday's program, the desire that you have and I have to have our kids come to faith, live their lives of faith, grow in faith, or maybe it's recover their faith, be restored to their faith, to overcome a rejection of faith. I know this is a burning issue, a painful issue for so many. And I think sometimes we have left on the sidelines. We have left on the sidelines some of the strength that the Lord has placed into our hands. This is the cutesy story of a father who says to his son, let's take a walk, and they're walking down a path together. Let's go down this path, and they come upon a large rock in the middle of the path. And the father says to the little boy, will you move that rock off the path? And the little boy says, yes, he wants to please his dad, and he goes and he tries to push, but that boulder is too big for the boy. He just can't budge that rock. And the boy says, Dad, I just can't do it. I just can't move that rock. And the father says to the son, son, you are not using all the strength that is at your disposal. And the boy wants to clear the path. He wants to remove that obstacle that's in their way. He wants to get that boulder out of the path. And he pushes and pulls and he tries to drag it and he tries to stick a stick under it and leverage it. And he tries to push up against it from different angles. It does not budge. And exasperated, the boy says, Dad, I just don't have the strength to move the rock. And the father says, son, you're not drawing upon all the strength that's at your disposal. And the son says, Dad, I have no idea what you mean. I've tried everything. And the father said, son, you haven't asked me to help you. You haven't asked me to help you. When I'm talking about speaking with authority, ministering with authority, exercising the God-given, God-established, God-appointed role that is yours as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as God's child in this world, where he appoints, he anoints. Where he sends, and you're sent into this vocation of marriage, into this vocation of being a parent, it's a gift from God. Where he appoints, he anoints. And I think too often we sense the appointment, but we go without the anointing. We go without the strength that comes from God. We're not drawing upon all the strength that is at our disposal. Why would we do that? Well, I think we miss the insight that the Lord Jesus gives at the beginning of Luke chapter 10. The harvest is rich, workers are few. Ask the harvest master to send workers to his harvest. Be on your way and remember, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. It's not just that there's a wolf that gets into the sheep pen. It's not just that there's a wolf that is around the edge of the flock. No, it's the little lamb, the baby sheep, that is being sent out into the midst of wolves. This is not good. This is not going to have a positive outcome, being sent as a lamb in the midst of wolves. Well, let's just say it this way. The lamb doesn't stand a chance in the midst of the wolves if the lamb thinks that the only strength it has at its disposal is going to be found in itself. But you know what? If that lamb is accompanied by a shepherd with a staff, that shepherd is going to guide that sheep, guide that little lamb, even in the midst of wolves. And that shepherd will protect that lamb, even if it means carrying that lamb on his shoulders, even if it means seeking out and rescuing that lamb if it's lost, even if it means giving up his life for the sheep. That's the good shepherd. And that's the shepherd who lives in us. That good shepherd, Jesus, lives in us. And I know that you want this for your kids. I know that you want your kids not just to go to Mass because they're checking the box, believe Catholic stuff because that's what they're taught and they can memorize it, and not just follow the moral code of the Catholic Church because, well, it's the requirement and therefore I'll follow it to the best of my ability. Now, actually, you hear all of that and you're like, that doesn't sound very bad right now. That actually sounds really good. But if there's no relationship, I never knew you, Jesus says. I never knew you. If there's no encounter, if there's no true meeting with the person of Jesus Christ, if there's no sense of an intimate nearness of the Lord Jesus drawing near, becoming the living God, so that our children can say, Philippians 1:21, Dad, for me, life means Christ, and death is gain. Death means going home to heaven, to see the Lord, to be with the Lord, to worship the Lord with the angels and saints forever. But while I'm on earth, that means productive toil. I don't know which to prefer. That spirit that lived in St. Paul, that inspired St. Paul to write like that, that burning passion that says, whether I live or die, it's all for the Lord. Whether I live or die doesn't matter. If I live, productive gain. For me, life means Christ. But when I die, that's going home to heaven. That's what I want my kids to say. That's what I want my kids to live. But that's someone, well, St. Paul knocked off his horse. Thought he could see, he was blind. And the Holy Spirit came to remove the scales. And then he discovered who he really was in the relationship. Saul became Paul. And that's what we want. And you know what? We want that for our kids. And this is that whole go big or be little, that program I was talking about. That was my theme yesterday. Today, one of the ways that we can go big by being little is by operating in the authority that is ours precisely because of the appointment we've been given. Remember, where God calls, God graces. As the Lord has called you, he will grace you. He will give you what you need to accomplish your mission. So listen now to what the Lord says to the 72 when they come back from their mission, and you'll get a better picture of where I'm headed in this program. The 72 returned in jubilation, saying, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said in reply, I watched Satan fall from the sky like lightning. See what I have done. I have given you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the forces of the enemy, and nothing shall ever injure you. Nonetheless, do not rejoice so much in the fact that the devils are subject to you as that your names are inscribed in heaven. That is authority. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, because I want to operate within the authority, within that spiritual power that the Lord has given to me as a result of the call that he has for me. He's created me as a man, elevated me through baptism into the status of a child of God, called me through my vocation to be married, to carry, and gifted me with children to be the father of 9 on earth and 13 in heaven. And this great family that I've been gifted to be the father of and the husband of, in that role, he's also giving me authority. And again, where he appoints, he anoints. And the last thing I want to do as I attempt to fulfill my call is to leave on the sidelines some of the power that the Lord has given to me, that he's placed at my disposal in order to fulfill my call. Too many times, I feel like I'm trying to push a rock out of the path, a boulder that's in the way. And the Lord has to remind me gently again and again, Tom, you're trying to fulfill your call as a husband and a father, as a child of God, as my son, and you're not drawing on all the strength that's at your disposal. And so today, when we come back, we're going to talk about operating in that authority as it shows up in these themes of binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. What does that mean? I'll tell you about that in just a minute on Sound Insight. Welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Carney. I'm going to talk about binding and loosing as ways of exercising the God-given authority that is yours and the relationships that he has established you in. When I think about binding and loosing, the passage of scripture that first leaps to mind is John 11:44. And you've heard me reflect on this if you've followed Sound Insight for the past 16 years since I've been doing this. I will regularly, well, at least once a year, talk a bit about John chapter 11, which is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And especially at that moment after Lazarus is dead, the stone is rolled away, Jesus says and calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And then verse 44, the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, his face wrapped in a cloth. Unbind him, Jesus told them, and let him go free. Unbind him and let him go free. And this passage was very, very meaningful to me. My first year in the seminary, I was led into this passage of scripture by my spiritual director and a priest that was actually leading a prayer group. He gave me an icon of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And you know, when you have a whole scene like this, a whole scene, it's hard to capture like the variety of the unfolding of an event in scripture like the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Because you got to pick a moment. Is Lazarus still in the tomb? Is the stone still in front of the tomb? Where are Mary and Martha in all of this? Well, the artist, and I think the artist is actually called the author of that icon. He chose the moment where Lazarus is, the stone is rolled away, and Lazarus is out of the tomb, standing there, and Jesus is pointing at him, and you see Martha and Mary, Mary at the feet of Jesus, because that, you know, crying, and Martha is there, and there's Lazarus, and he is all bound up. He's all bound up. It looks like a mummy, which was not exactly the way he would have been tied up in a burial cloth, right? The burial cloth would have gone from his feet up over his head, down around his feet. And then there would have been ties of cloth in various parts of the body to keep that burial cloth on. And for him, he wouldn't be able to move, even though he was even though he was raised from the dead, he would need to be untied or unbound. And the priest encouraged me to pray in a contemplative mode and in a meditative mode where I would gaze upon the icon. I would read this passage of scripture, John chapter 11, and I would come to John 11, 44, unbind him and let him go free. And what I would do is I would just gaze upon the icon and I would just pray, Jesus, unbind me and let me go free. Unbind me and let me go free. And I would be still. I would actually have some Taizé chant on in the background on a cassette tape. I created a cassette tape that was like 45 minutes to a side. And I would sit in the midst of that beautiful chant music happening while I would just gaze upon the icon and eventually just close my eyes and just contemplatively be present and give permission, make space, follow the prompting of the Lord to let the Lord unbind me and let me go free. And the powerful thing was this, is that I did that for months. I followed that spiritual practice in my personal prayer time for months, where I just literally gave the Lord permission to unbind me and let me go free. And it was amazing because I saw so many, like it was like a deep cleaning. It was a detailing, right? Get the car detailed, right? It was a deep cleaning. It was like a lot of gunk. It was a lot of dredging out of the spiritual pipes of my life. There was a lot of healing, a healing of memories, healing of past hurts, healing of emotional wounds, healing of spiritual wounds. And here's the thing. I wasn't even aware of what the Lord was healing. All I know is that the Lord was freeing me from this stuff. As it sort of left me, I would just feel these different experiences. But I would experience the freedom that came from being unbound and set free. And that's how I principally thought about this experience of binding and loosing, is allowing Christ, the great high priest, the mediator of salvation, of new life, to come to me and unbind me and let me go free. What I have not sufficiently done in my life, and by the way, I recommend that to you. I recommend that to you as a spiritual practice. Just give the Lord permission. Give him some space. Give him the opportunity to unbind you and let you go free. And then as the Lord unbinds you and lets you go free, you can then become more available for the Lord to use you to unbind others and let them go free. And that can happen in like very human ways, right? As you experience a sense of freedom and joy and peace in your own life, you'll get to bring that into every relationship you have. You know, just meeting people going to a coffee shop. You know, if you're free and you're joyful and you're smiling and you're peaceful, you're naturally going to let that overflow in how you're interacting with other people. And it becomes catchy. It is. It's contagious. But even more important than that, at a deeper level than that, there is the way in which the Lord intends to unbind those under your authority. Did you hear that? He wants to unbind, he wants to loosen those under your authority and set them free. So when I think about my kids, when I think about my wife, and I think about the blessings I want for them, some of those blessings will come, you know, through their own freedom, right? Their own decision to open themselves, their decision, their prompt to respond to the knocking of the Lord on their hearts, right? But some of the good things that the Lord has intended for my kids, he's placed into my hands in the stewardship of the authority that he's given me as their father. And so if you take a look at the fathers of the church, great spiritual teachers in our tradition, there is an emphasis on the role of the man in the household as the spiritual head. And if we just draw upon that, just look at the scriptures, you look at our tradition, you'll see, and I'm just speaking to men here, to own it, that spiritual authority that is yours, that the Lord has established for you to exercise at a minimum in a spiritual way through the binding and loosing that the Lord will do through your exercise of your fatherly authority in the lives of your kids and your grandkids. Now, I'm going to extend that covering to parents, so mothers and fathers over your children, to exercise spiritual authority. And right now, I'm just talking about the authority to unbind. That's to loosen. We'll talk about the exercise of authority to bind in the next section. Let's focus here on the unbind and let free. Just as you can experience, first of all, for yourself, the Lord saying to you, unbind my son, unbind my daughter, and let them go free. So Jesus now will say through you, Lord, I want my kids to be unbound. Lord, I want them to be set free. And so I am now praying with a greater sense of conviction and clarity that the Lord has given me this position of authority to pray blessings upon. That's to minister blessings into the life of my kids. And so when I unpack in my own mind the reality that God, in establishing me as husband and father, has asked me to lead and provide and protect my family. Lead and provide and protect my family. And at a spiritual level, to lead and provide and protect, right? Priest, prophet, king, right? To lead, there's the kingly role. To protect, there's the prophetic role. To provide, there's the priestly role. I'm anointed priest, prophet, and king through baptism. And I exercise that in a special way in my married vocation. And so the priest is the go-between, right? That's what a priest is a mediator, a go-between. And so the Lord is going to mediate into my kids' lives in part through me, through my exercising my role. And so moms and dads, pray this way. Pray from that place of authority. And sometimes it's just a matter of stating it. Lord, I just pray with the authority that you have given to me in my kids' lives, and I pray a blessing into their lives. I pray blessings. I pray goodness. I pray life. I pray freedom. I pray joy. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would remove the obstacles. Lord, roll away those stones that are keeping them in tombs and darkened places. Lord, I pray that you would unbind them and let them go free. Lord, unbind them from fear. Unbind them from doubts. Unbind their unbelief, their lack of trust. Lord, unbind their faith, their hope, and their love. Stir it into flame, Lord. And so I've become so much more aware of this exercising of spiritual authority, priestly leadership in my own family's regard through praying prayers of unbinding, of pushing, ministering blessings that the Lord wants to minister into my kids' lives through my praying for them. And this actually is very intimately linked to acts of self-sacrifice, acts of self-denial, acts of fighting against temptations, acts of doing penance and making reparation. All of these actions can be captured in that net of saying, Lord, I undertake these things in order to unbind my kids. from being trapped in places of wanting an easy, comfortable, fun life, but not a life that honors you, a life that's noble, a life that is glorious. And so I really truly encourage you to own that. And the second thing that this has also made me more aware of as I've begun to pray in this place of authority, a God-assigned role where I am asked to lead and provide and protect for those under my care, it has given me a deepened appreciation and a more alert calling upon my guardian angel and my kids' guardian angels and my wife's guardian angel and my family's guardian angel. And I speak, if you will, with a sense of humble authority to say, you have been assigned. You've been assigned a role in my regard. My guardian angel, I say to you, exercise your role of leading, providing, and protecting me spiritually. I give you permission. I am willingly under your guidance as my guardian angel. I submit to you and your gracious intercession on my behalf. Go between a priestly role that my guardian angel has in my regard. My guardian angel isn't just sort of like flitting around. No, my guardian angel is mighty. If I, invite, give permission, yield to, go for it, guardian angel. But I am also praying as the Father over my kids' lives, and I'm saying with some degree of authority to the guardian angels of my kids, move, do something, watch over them, please. As I exercise my fatherly role, I'm calling upon you to exercise that role of being guardians for my kids and my wife, each in their way, to lead and provide and protect through your intercessory power, through your gracious work that God has assigned for you in their lives. It's been beautiful. All I can say is it has been invigorating to call upon the angels to be at work, to be on guard, to be moving. And then I will call upon my family's guardian angel, and I'll say, family guardian angel, be deployed for that one or for this one or in that situation. Whoever it is that is prompted in my prayer or that I have this awareness of, they have the greatest or most critical need for the activity in ministering of my family's guardian angel. And I'll say, go to that one. I'll be back in a minute to talk about binding. Hey, welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. Today I am reflecting on this idea that is in the scriptures, and it is in our tradition, that where the Lord assigns a commission, where the Lord has a vocation, the Lord also grants certain, let's call it privileges, prerogatives, rights. Let's just use the word authority. The Lord grants an exercise of power over in order to lead and provide and protect. And it's not about lording it over. It's about, living that authority in a way that will truly lead, provide, and protect, even when it means imitating Jesus, who washed feet, who exercised kingly service by being the suffering servant. I am one in your midst who serves, right? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, Mark 10:43. And so as that Jesus is growing in us, and you know this, right? Jesus Christ is alive in you. He lives in you. And he will minister through you, right? What was it? Mother Teresa, I see Jesus. I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. Because Jesus in her is able to recognize Jesus. I can see how Jesus is also alive in you. And so every time you receive communion, you're transformed by the sanctifying grace of that sacrament to a deeper share in the very life of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus continues to operate through the church, not in just some kind of metaphorical way, but the Lord Jesus is alive in you through the gift of his Spirit. He's going to minister through you. And so you take a look at the ministry that Jesus operated, and you look at all the ministry of blessing, pouring blessings into, setting free, setting people free from all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, all kinds of troubling conditions. But he also bound. He also bound up. He didn't just unbind and let free. He also bound up. And what did he bind up? Well, he bound up the works of the enemy. He bound up the activity of the fallen angels, the realm of the demonic. We live in a world that's fallen, in a world that was under the dominion of Satan because of the fall of man. And Jesus came and broke that dominion through his redemptive passion, death, and resurrection and ascension into heaven, the Paschal mystery, the mystery of Christ passing through death to new life and returning to the Father in glory and taking up his seat of power again. And now he operates from that place of power through us. But that dominion, while broken, is still operating in this world. And that dominion, the realm of the demonic, demons, are going to come after you. They're going to come after you, especially as you chase after the Lord, as you pursue the Lord in your life, as you pursue him intentionally, as you strive to honor him more fully, faithfully, courageously today. Alarm bells go off in hell. The last thing in the world that they want is to have you become solicitous, to have a sense of urgency, to have a sense of holy zeal for the Lord, for holiness, for righteousness, for honoring him. And you know what? Literally all hell breaks loose and will come after your family, will come after your life, will come after your wife, will come after your kids. So often, before I do any ministry work, I pray a prayer of protection over my family, because I've experienced enough times weirdness, craziness, sickness, stumbles and falls, just like weird, like, how did that happen? As I am engaging in a ministry work, serving the Lord, serving the church. And so this is the mystery of the boy walking down the path and the Lord saying, get that boulder out of there. Or the father saying, get that boulder out of there. And the boy doesn't have the power on his own. And the father says, you're not drawing on all the strength, all the power, all the strength that is at your disposal that's available to you. And this is the Lord giving us his authority. He gives us his authority, right? You know the scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, when Simon becomes Peter. You are a rock, and upon this rock will build my church, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. What you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And in Matthew 18, 18, you have that same reference to binding and loosing being given to all of the disciples, right? To all of the disciples. What you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so when we operate in the authority of binding and loosing in the roles and within the realm that is ours, the roles in the realm that is ours, meaning in accord with your vocation, then you can pray with the very strength of Christ, with the very authority of Jesus who's alive in you, because it's in his name. It's with his authority. You're just a lamb among wolves. But man, when you show up with the good shepherd, man, you got all power. You got all power. You got the Lord himself operating through you. And so I have been praying with vigor, with intentionality, with a real sense of clarity to bind the work of Satan and evil spirits that come against my kids' lives. So when I sense or discover that my kids are struggling with a particular sin or even have been exposed to certain polluting realities or have had things happen to them that have been potentially damaging to them, I pray prayers that will bind the work of the enemy in my kids' lives. And so I encourage you to pray simple prayers of binding of the work of the enemy when you sense that the powers of darkness are coming against those under your authority. So for husbands, your wives, and your children, and parents, for your children. And as you pray these prayers of binding, you're praying with the authority of Jesus, not your strength, it's not your power, but you go with the Spirit who can move within you to pray that prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray a prayer that binds the work of the enemy coming against this child of mine. I bind spirits of whatever it is that I sense might be harassing, oppressing, or obsessing my child or my family. And I pray a prayer that simply binds that spirit or those spirits, those companion spirits, in Jesus' name, and I cast them to the feet of Jesus. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would fill that space left behind with his divine power, that the precious blood of Jesus would wash over and protect that individual, my family, my home, this space. And pray a sense of the mantle of our Mother Mary to be over our home, over our hearts, over our kids' lives. I take seriously the gift that Jesus gave to me on the cross. Behold your mother. And I look to my Mother Mary, whose heel crushes the head of Satan, as a sign of her, the lamb among wolves. Boy, she's mighty. She is mighty in her authority, her power, over the realm of the demonic, because she was, yes, she's the new Eve. She's the queen of heaven. And so she exercises authority through her son over all the realm of the demonic. And so you pray for her mighty intercession, her mighty intercessory power, and her mantle of motherly protection over your family, over their lives. You see, praying in this way, like with this sense of God-given authority, right, that is yours as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as grandparents, you pray blessings over, that you would loose tremendous an outflow of grace. Remove the blockages, Lord, and may your grace flow and bind up the work of the enemy. Bind up the areas of vulnerability and sin and cast those away to the feet of Jesus. You start exercising that kind of clarity, that kind of authority. I'm telling you, it is like awakening. It awakens us to the drama of discipleship that we live every day in this world. I'll be back in a minute with more Sound Insight. Welcome back to Sound Insight. Great to be with you today. I'm talking about the authority that is yours, acting within that authority that as the Lord has sent you. And you know what? If you're alive right now, God sent you. He sent you into this moment in history. And in sending you, he has assigned you. He has appointed you. And that means there's a specific mission he has for you, something he has for you to accomplish, something he has for you to do. You will not do that unless you know who you are. And that means putting the first emphasis on discovering and living your identity as a child of the Father through the Son in the Spirit. But knowing and living in that identity then opens you to fulfill the God-given mission where the Lord Jesus Christ will now minister through you into the world. And now having that clarity that that's what the Lord wants for you, realize that where he calls, where he appoints, he also anoints, but also not just anoints, but has given authority. Now, that's not authority that you have all on your own, but you have it through, with, and in Jesus. So learning to pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, with authority over those members, over those that are under your authority. So family members, over family members, you can pray with authority. I just mentioned a binding prayer, and I looked one up online that's a sort of a reputable version that you might find useful and helpful. So here it is. I'll actually, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a pretty short prayer. Spirit of X, so whatever the particular spirit is that you sense. So it might be like one of the deadly sins, spirit of pride, spirit of lust, spirit of gluttony. Or maybe it's a situation that you're aware of, like spirit of anxiety, spirit of suicidal thinking, spirit of terror, or spirit, whatever the spirit is, spirit of terror, I bind you in the name of Jesus by the power of the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Michael the Archangel, the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and all of the saints. And I command you to leave X, so that might be the name of a person or even an object, and go to the foot of the Holy Cross to receive your sentence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can see it's a simple prayer. It's a simple, it's called binding prayer. You can just look up binding prayer online and you'll see it. It's clearly Catholic. And by doing this, you're learning how to pray prayers of binding up evil spirits or demonic forces that are harassing or oppressing your loved ones. And by doing this, you're offering prayers that will protect them, that will provide a covering over them. You see, by doing these things, you are, by praying prayers that bind and loose, you are exercising the God-given authority that is yours. And all I can say is this, is that I have found that in doing this, it has been a tremendous blessing to me. But the other part, I mentioned how this has given me a greater sense of appreciation, like gratitude for the work of the angels in my life, and the idea that I don't want to leave the angels on the sidelines of my life. Even more is that the case with the Blessed Mother. And I have, just since Our Lady of Guadalupe, taken on a particular message that she gave to Saint Juan Diego when he came on the fourth day, for the fourth apparition on the 12th itself. And he was concerned, right, about his uncle dying. And she said, "Do not fear any illness or anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection?" Just when you hear that, that has just really meant an awful lot to me. Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? And I just, when I hear that, it's such a tender message from the Mother of God, the Blessed Mother Mary, to Saint Juan Diego. But it's a message we can make our own too. Listen and let it penetrate your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and my protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle and the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? That's in such a beautiful way, the Blessed Mother speaking to us today. You're under my authority. You're under my authority as your mother, and allow her to exercise her authority over those situations in our lives where we feel out of control, where we feel like this is too much, where we feel, I don't know how to go forward, where we feel like, how is this going to turn out positively at all? How can this possibly be? So with that in mind, I've come before the Blessed Mother and said, Mother Mary, this person's yours, this child of mine, this spouse of mine, it's only one of them. This situation we're in, Mother Mary. I just remember that phrase. Am I not here? Who am your mother? Yes, you are, Mother Mary. And so this situation is now yours. This beloved of mine is now yours. This situation we're facing, it's yours. And we are under the mantle. We're going to stay under the mantle of your protection. You've got this, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of this. So it's been a powerful thing, honestly, just to see it unfold in these days as I come to appreciate more this sense of spiritual authority that the Lord has granted to me as a baptized member of the faithful, that the Lord wants to unbind me and let me go free, and the Lord wants to bind up any work of the enemy in my life and cast it away. But having done that, now the Lord wants to continue not only to do that to me, but he wants to do that through me, especially in those relationships over which he has granted me authority. And so being very grateful for that awareness that has gone beyond me to impact my relationship with my guardian angel and my family's guardian angel and the guardian angels of my children, as well as the Blessed Mother. So looking to her in her enthroned heart. So I feel like things are heating up. Things are heating up around the Curran home, and in a good way, because the harvest is in fact abundant, but the laborers are few. And if we today are going to fight the good fight of faith, if we're going to help clear away the boulders and the blockages so that our kids can walk a path to an encounter with the Lord and come into a living, intimate, personal, and profound relationship with Jesus Christ, where they can come to know the Father, where they can live under the realm of his kingdom, and they can flourish by experiencing joy and peace and freedom and new life, right? All of those things that he intends for us, that's what's going to be required of us today, if in fact we're going to be victorious. Let's just close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I approach you with confidence and with delight and with great trust, because I do so in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that all of those who are listening would be blessed. Lord, bless them each and all to be able to come to know with a greater sense of nearness your power that you long to bring to be at work in their lives. Lord, unbind and set free. Lord, I pray that you would bind and loose in the work and the lives of all those listening, so that we, knowing ourselves more fully as children of the Father, that we would operate in the authority that is ours with a great sense of expectant faith. Thank you, Lord. And Mother Mary, please pray for us. Guardian angels, pray for us. As we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. That's a sort of a brief teaching and sharing about this reality of binding and loosing. I hope and pray that you found it to be a blessing, and encourage you to keep me in prayer. Pray for me. I would really appreciate that as I
strive to share with you in a way that's open and honest, and kind of expose the good, the bad, and the ugly as I strive to live my life of faith. I really, truly appreciate a remembrance of me and my family in your prayers. I want you to know I do pray for you. And again, I'm just very grateful for your prayers for me. Thanks so much for listening. God's blessings in your day. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.